And now, I'd like to show my love by making for you a Quebec pizza.
What's that?
Pop-Tart with the ketchup. She's good.
Daniel Palmer, San Antonio, Texas.
Hey, Doc, we better back up. We don't have enough road to get up to 88.
Roads? Well, we're going. We don't need roads.
Ba-da-da-da-da.
It's showtime.
This is Old School at the Movies, episode 116 for April 16th, 2015. Old School at the Movies is brought to you by the brand fucking new TrendingTopicsNetwork.com. Check out some great shows like Old School at the Movies, Trending Mobile Technology, and All Wine Aside. Check out the show you're already listening to. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Old School at the Movies, your one-stop shop for all your movie-related news. I'm your host, Mr. Old School. Before we get to the panel this week, let's get into the contact information. OldSchoolMovies.net is the site you can listen, download, and subscribe to the podcast. We can get in touch with us directly. Don't be shy. OldSchoolMovies2 at gmail.com. You can tweet us at OldMovies.net. That's OldMovies, D-O-T-net, hashtag O-S-A-T-M. But before we get into it, let's introduce our panel for this week. Episode 86, 87 in a row. I lost count, Heavy. And I think he hit the mute button there. So while he's getting that fixed, we have Carp.
What's up, folks?
And we've got Kebbo Trek.
I'm always here.
You are always here as well. All right, let's get into the news for this week.
I'm Bruce Nolan for Eyewitness News. Back to you, fuckers.
And just a quick warning, people above me are like having a Royal Rumble or something upstairs. So if you hear screaming and thumping, it's not me. I swear to God, I am not murdering anybody.
Nice.
Quick disclaimer. All right, Heavy, you back?
Ironically, yes.
There he is. All right. First news story comes from Cinema Blend. This is Guardians of the Galaxy has some big long-term plans. Those good old plans. Put some ketchup on that. Guardians of the Galaxy has some long-term plans. Let's check out the clip and get our thoughts.
Hey everyone, you're here with Cinema Blend. We've got some news for you. Guardians of the Galaxy was a huge hit at the box office, but apparently even before that, Marvel knew that the Guardians had a long future within the MCU. Before the release of the first film, they announced that they were working on a sequel, and even though James Gunn just started writing it, he said this to Vulture. I knew for a long time what the story of the second one was going to be, and the third one. He calls the second one a story about fathers, though we're not sure if that means we get to meet Peter's mysterious dad. Trilogies are common in superhero movies, so we're not surprised at all that he had something in mind for the third one. Guardians 2 is still 2 years away, but if it's anywhere near as popular as the first one, we won't be surprised when Marvel announces the third. We don't know a lot about the second installment, but we know that every Guardian will be returning, as well as Gamora's villainous sister Nebula, and it'll be released July 28, 2017. This has been Movie News with Cinema Blend. We'll see you next time.
Interesting that they've already got this trilogy planned out. I mean, I don't see how there was any guarantee of success, especially considering it's a third-rate comic book. I mean, these guys were like jobber characters, really. They didn't stand out like Thor, Iron Man. I never even heard of Guardians of the Galaxy. I'm not a huge comic book fan either, but I can understand why he might have a trilogy kind of panned out, but I'm really surprised that they were that gung-ho. I mean, Kebbo Trek, let's throw it to you first. It kind of blows my mind that they would go that far in. I mean, what if this wasn't successful? Let's get your thoughts, man.
Well, there's a part of me that's like, whenever there's a successful movie, like they always say, oh, we always had a trilogy planned. Like, you know, The Matrix was supposed to be one movie, and yeah, they had a trilogy planned, and there's a lot of stuff like that. But I think in this case, they did. Yeah, it was a big risk, but I mean, it's Marvel, so it doesn't hurt to plan a little bit ahead, you know, maybe what you're going to put in the next movie, what surprise you're going to put in. So for a big studio like Marvel, because of all the success they've had, I don't think it's too surprising that they would plan ahead, even though, like you said, Guardians was a bit of an unknown.
So Heavy Set, would you agree that anything Marvel touches right now is just going to be an instant hit?
So far, that's really what it's looking like. Like, I think Ant-Man even looks good, and I think that had some of the same hurdles that Guardians of the Galaxy did. Like, when that was coming into being a movie, a lot of people were kind of skeptical, and the Guardians of the Galaxy happened to be huge. So now we're looking at Ant-Man. I don't think Ant-Man's going to be that huge, but I think it's still going to be successful, and I still think people are going to like it.
Yeah, go ahead.
I think that
go ahead.
Ant-Man will actually be a bigger test than Guardians of the Galaxy. Like, because the Guardians, even though it was unknown, it was still, like, you know, a big space opera, you know, kind of bright.
Yeah,
bright,
how colorful. Well did John Carter do, Kev?
No, but we're talking Marvel Cinematic Universe versus...
So if they said Marvel presents John Carter, it would have made $1 billion.
It wouldn't have made $1 billion, but it probably would have did better. But I think, if Ant-Man's successful, like really successful, I think we'll see that almost anything Marvel touches will be successful.
All right, Red Book prediction. I'm going to cut this into our ongoing MP3 file that I kind of collect when we make predictions. I predict that Ant-Man's going to be the first flop. It's going to make under 100. Carp, agree, disagree.
Definitely disagree, especially with the new trailer. Now you're saying 100 million over how long? Like opening weekend? Probably not.
No, he's talking total.
Total?
It makes under 100 million domestic.
I'm going to say definitely over 100. Probably over 150 at least, actually, domestic, I think.
I say it makes 98 total.
No, you're definitely wrong.
All right, well, I'm not going to bet money, but let's just say.
I had it pegged for about 175 domestic.
Yeah, I figure 150 to 200 it's going to make.
Yeah, like I don't think it's not going to make over domestic. I'd be really surprised.
I say opening at 38 million.
I can see that. I can see something like that, but then again.
And then like an 80% drop.
That might be.
I mean, you got to also look what's coming out when it comes out, too. Because nobody's coming even close to challenging Avengers in a couple of weeks.
So. Ant-Man isn't a draw. I'm saying it right now. If anybody thinks that this fucking Ant-Man, Paul Rudd, like the jobber of Anchorman, is supposed to headline a fucking feature film for Marvel, if you agree, do you think this is going to do well, tweet me because I think you're all fucking nuts. All right, Carp, let's get into your new story for this week.
My new story is about the girl who played Gazelle in Kingsman, Sophia
Boutella, the Oscar Pistorius of murdering.
She is signed on for a leading role in the Star Trek 3 movie.
Hell yeah. Does she wear the fucking Oscar Pistorius legs, though? Because that would be even better. No.
Basically, Sophia Boutella has made a remarkable and memorable appearance as an assassin with blades for legs in Kingsman, the Secret Service. Now she is heading towards Star Trek 3 with a major role. It's not known at this time on which side she's on at this time. So be aware, a lot of rumors and denials
will
result from this.
It's not time.
What's that?
At this time, we don't know what's going on at this time. Isn't that redundant? Just saying.
It's not known at this time on which side. Well, that's what the article is. That's how the article is written. So.
Hey, article writer, learn how to write. Thank
Boutella
you.
Is known for her dancing movies for television commercials and movies such as Dance Challenge and Street Dance 2. And her experience helped her land in Kingsman. She will be appearing in the sequel Monsters: Dark Continent later this month. The Star Trek sequel will be directed by Justin Lin, and the script is written by Simon Pegg and Doug Jung, writer of Dark Blue. It is set for a release date on July 8th, 2016.
Yeah, fucking, if you've seen Kingsman,
she brought it.
You see what a badass, she fucking brought it. She sold me right away. And if she's going to be a heel in Star Trek, sign me the fuck up.
Right now, there's rumors that she's going to be either the president of the Federation. And so if, I guess...
No, she's got to be a heel in this.
Yeah, or the other rumors is she was going to be Bones' ex-wife who's, like, gone heel.
That'd be awesome. She gives him the thumbs down. As the president, she's like, and if I get Batista somehow.
I mean, she did a great job in Kingsman. I very much doubt I'll ever see Dance Challenge or Street Dance. I really like the first Monsters movie, so I'm looking forward to Dark Continent and see what she can do in it. And, I mean, I was already waiting for Star Trek 3 after Star Trek 2, and this is just even adding on to it for me. So,
you know what? She, to me, is like the Rush Hour 2's version of Zee Zhang. At the end of that, I was like, holy shit, what a fucking badass. Until then, I haven't really seen a huge female badass until she came along, and she really, that kind of skinny, like,
yeah.
Like, somebody, if you'd see in the street, you'd be like, who the fuck are you?
Yeah.
But she fucking brought it so much that she completely changed my, like, perception of badass females. And I'm really excited to see her in this movie. All right, we'll throw it to Heavyset.
The only thing I could come up with is the MTV Movie Award results.
All right, MTV Movie Awards hosted by Amy Schumer. Oh, fuck. I actually would have been excited to see this.
She did a great job. Her opening monologue was awesome.
I love some of the categories, too. You got, like, obviously you got Movie of the Year, Fault in Our Stars. I mean, I understand why it got it. It's teen fucking...
It's fan voting. Purely fan voting.
Well, it's also, even if it wasn't fan voting, it's your... You don't want American Sniper to win at the MTV Movie Awards. I mean, granted, it's all the equivalent to the Nickelodeon Awards. I had a friend of mine on Facebook, a 29, 30-year-old man kind of bitching that American Sniper didn't win. And I'm like, I wasn't exactly sure what he was talking about. And that he was like, I'm like, what award show? And he goes, MTV. And I go, that's why Twilight won Best Movie for them. Twilight. So you got to take it with a grain of salt.
New disclaimer, they're playing Frogger upstairs, so you might hear that during the podcast. Best Female Performance, Shane Woodley in The Fault in Our Stars. Okay, yeah. I mean, listen, I ain't a fan of this movie, but I understand the teen draw to it. I love the category Best Scared as Shit Performance. That's Jennifer Lopez from The Boy Next Door. Or the, she's not a pedophile. Yeah,
yeah, she's a pedophile next door. She's a sexual predator, technically.
Sexual predator next door.
Yeah.
Best comedic performance, Channing Tatum in 22 Jump Street. I mean, we all know why he won, but he was pretty good.
I got a list. So his best comedic performance, he won. He was against Rose Byrne in Neighbors, Kevin Hart in The Wedding Ringer, Chris Pratt in Guardians of the Galaxy, and Chris Rock in Top 5.
Yeah, I like Top 5, but listen, it's a bunch of 13-year-old girls.
Yeah, we all know why he won.
Yeah. Best Kiss, who cares? Best Male Performance, Bradley Cooper and American Sniper. I'm kind of surprised he won this one. I mean, because it's all teens voting.
They just find him hot.
But you know what? It could also show that teens actually nowadays have cinematic taste. Right? Like Twilight and
I don't understand
Insurgent.
How the winner of Best Fight was these two kids from Maze Runner. When they were up against Chris Evans and Sebastian Stan and Captain America, yeah, it was shaky cam, but it's still a great fight. Jonah Hill versus that chick in 22 Jump Street didn't win, which sucks. Even Seth Rogen versus Zac Efron in Neighbors was a much better fight, I'm sure. But, you know, the tweens voted, and they voted for the Maze Runner. So
also a category called Best WTF Moment. Seth Rogen and Rose Byrne in Neighbors.
That's probably the milking moment.
Yeah. Best Villain, hey, Meryl Streep, my mom's favorite actress in Into the Woods. There you go, Kev. It's another kind of old school, classically trained method actress. You wouldn't think she would win an award, but
yeah,
maybe they got some taste.
That actually doesn't make any sense in the con. Like, I can justify Bradley Cooper, but Meryl Streep, like...
I guess they prove you wrong, Kev.
You know,
Meryl Streep was the Wicked Witch in Into the Woods or whatever, wasn't it?
Oh, that was a fantastic movie.
Well, I know, you've raved about it.
I have many times.
And
here's she was against Rosamund Pike in Gone Girl. Now, she's the ultimate villain because she made you old school go gay. So.
That's awesome. That's fantastic. And the Comedic Genius Award goes to Kevin Hart. You know what? Nobody's been more on top right now, the last couple of years, dominating all the comedic and action type movies.
Schumer actually made a joke about how there's going to be 2 million movies out this year and Kevin Hart's in 1,999,999.
He's the new Sam Jackson, pretty much.
And he's playing the same character in every movie.
Well, there's always an actor out there, a black actor, who is, like, hot for a while. I think, Anthony Anderson? Or Anthony...
Yeah,
that's him. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He was in movies for like a while. Like every time you turned around, he was in something. And there's other ones too, but I know that's the one that always stuck out to me because I remember me and my friends had jokes about it at the time. And Kevin Hart's kind of like filling into that spot.
So you're saying black actors have no longevity?
No, I'm saying certain casters always like cast the same guy around the same amount of time.
Chris Rock had his little run a couple of years ago. He was in every rom com and Adam Sandler movie.
Well, he wasn't in every Adam Sandler.
Morgan, but if you're looking at the opposite, you know, black fantastic actors who stood the test of time, you got Denzel Washington, Morgan Freeman,
Will Smith.
I mean, those guys, they're not typecasted in stupid comedic roles, so, you know, they could bring it. Yeah. All right. Check out the movie awards on YouTube, I guess. Apparently, Amy Schumer did a good job. Kebo Trek, what do you got?
My story concerns Angry Birds.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, hold on.
Why? What do you mean, really? I try to diversify.
It's old school at the movies, not old school at the web game. See,
I try to diversify, unlike some of you who only bring the same thing every week.
Bullshit.
Resident Evil. Okay, Angry Bird film to cost $185 million. Rovio Entertainment is betting big on its upcoming 3D CG animated film adaptation of the smartphone game Angry Birds. Cineropa reports that the project will have a production budget of around $80 million US with a further $105 million for marketing and distribution. Kebo Trek, holy shit, I didn't consider marketing would ever be that high for any movie. I mean, I think we're kind of underestimating some of these big budget blockbusters too when we say, oh, you know, 50 to 100 million, maybe even double that. I understand the reason for the marketing. You want to go into the tweeners and the kids audience. My only concern is that the game is kind of 2 years ago. You know what I mean? If they would have done this film a lot sooner, I would have seen it done well. I'm kind of concerned of the drop off, and I don't think it's going to do as well as they think. Agree or disagree?
I agree completely. Like you said, if this was made 2 years ago, I think you're probably looking at like maybe a double the box office. That being said, it does have a very modest production budget. Yes, it's getting hit pretty hard with like marketing distribution, but I think we will see this movie make a profit. It's not going to be, you know, it's not going to be making $800 million in the worldwide box office, but I think it'll, you know, squeak its money back. And then you consider, you know, all the merchandise, the toys, stuff like that. And of course, like just a positive effect of people will go back to the games maybe a little bit. And I think it won't lose money, I guess is the best way I'll put it.
You know what? That's the one thing. I mean, yeah, Frozen's coming out of that, but we kind of need another big animated film to take over. Heavy set, I know you're a huge fan of animated and CG animated stuff. What are your thoughts on this? Would you go see it as a fan of these types of films? And do you think a couple of years after the popularity of the game that they still have a good draw for a movie?
I almost feel like this movie's just like a couple years too late. But at the same time, they're a brand that has kept themselves relevant. They're just out of their really big boom period. I just happen to see a new Angry Birds game because they've expanded outside the normal realm of their games. And I think the new one is like a Mario Kart kind of game, believe it or not. And I don't know how well that's doing, but I think the big thing with them is as long as kids are still playing it, which is the big demographic for it, then it could still do well. This is a movie I want to see a trailer for because I think that could hurt it or help it, and they could actually give them another spike of popularity.
Carp, question. If I was the writer, I would actually do zero dialogue. Do you think that'd be a good idea?
Well, I don't think it'll happen with the people that they've already apparently casted in it. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Guys, what about a movie with no dialogue in it?
Well, wasn't WALL-E kind of like that?
Half of the movie, though. I'm talking the entire movie.
What, where it's just going
to be... Right, but I think you could tell a story and you wouldn't have to translate it.
The thing is, would adult be interested in something like that? Because, you know, usually animated movies these days have stuff for both, like, you know, stuff that kids will enjoy and adults will enjoy. Would we enjoy 2 hours of Angry Birds?
What did you think of WALL-E, especially the beginning of it?
Never actually saw it.
Heavy.
What? WALL-E and Up are two of the best Pixar movies of recent memory that doesn't follow a sequel pattern. They were original movies, and I think both of them, like, I can't put one in front of the other. I mean, WALL-E has a certain stuff too, and then I think Up is a great movie within the first fucking 5 minutes. Have you seen Up?
No, I haven't.
What?
That's just crazy old school.
I haven't seen it either.
Shut the fuck up.
But from what I understand, the first like 10 minutes are the most depressing minutes of a movie ever made ever.
Well, here's my thing on Up. When I was in the theater watching it, you start to see the love story that happens. And then literally I went, wait a minute. All the previews show him an old grumpy man. Oh, no. Oh, no. And obviously, I mean, that's what happens. But it's still both of those are very good movies.
Spoiler alert.
Hey, if it's past a year, it's not a spoiler.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, then again, if it's in the first 10, 15 minutes of a movie, it's not a big spoiler either.
All right, let's race our way on to the movie review of the week. Who has seen Fast 7?
Furious 7, you liar.
Yeah, come on, man. Right.
What movie's Fast 7? I haven't heard of no movie
there's,
called Fast
yeah,
7.
Yeah, there's no Fast 7.
Yeah, it's the last time you had sex. All right.
I was going to say that I did download the Paul Walker app. It just keeps crashing, though.
Spoiler alert. All right, Kebbo, you start.
Well, first of all, let me say it was the first Vin Diesel Fast and the Furious I saw, and it'll probably be the last Vin Diesel Fast and the Furious I've seen. Can't really say much good about the movie. The acting was pretty much universally atrocious. Obviously, these movies kind of got like bigger and more exaggerated, but some of the guy crashes like from 20 stories and he's getting up and stuff like that. So jumping between three buildings in was it Dubai?
Yeah, there was a physicist who actually recreated that and said it's possible to happen with those three towers in Dubai.
A legit
PhD physicist.
Spoiler alert.
From the commercial, when you see a jump between buildings, there's a physicist that
spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. It's called the trailer, jackass.
But yeah, I mean, like I said, atrocious acting, over the top stunts and that. And I mean, it's always nice to see Statham, but something I probably won't see again.
Spoiler alert.
Kev, what were you expecting out of a Fast and Furious movie?
No, I know that's the thing, but it's not my type of movie, but I went to go
okay,
see it.
Okay. Let him finish, and then I'm going to rip him a new one. Go ahead.
But yeah, so I'm pretty much done. I would give it 5 sappy endings on 10.
To me, there's two people who go to see a movie. There's the person who says, you know what? I understand what's coming. I expect to see a certain type of film, and I will rate it accordingly. The second type is Kebbo Trek, who walks in with his fucking smoking pipe and his smoking jacket, wanting to see Resident Evil, and if it's not Resident Evil, oh, fuck, the acting's bad, the action. Listen, you stupid son of a bitch. You're going into Fast and Furious, expect a car chase movie, horrible acting, over-the-top action. That's what you get. You should rate it accordingly, not based on the fact that you think it's supposed to be like Resident Evil.
I guess I'm sorry that I have standards.
Well, then why are you going to see the fucking movie, you fucking retard?
It was my choice.
You got to get it right. It's when he goes in and it's not Resident Evil, it's...
Oh, you know what? I hate you. That's all. I'm going to rate it based on the fact that it's Fast and Furious. Okay, or Furious, or Fast, whatever the fuck it's called. Carp Sex Life, whatever it's called, okay? Listen.
Furious.
I'm furious. Ah. That's what the sound he makes, apparently. All right. I give it a 7 out of 10. Action-wise, it's fucking ridiculous. Like you know, spoiler aside, they're flying through fucking buildings and... Like, Vin Diesel's, like, God, fucking no-selling everything. Shovels to the face and all this crowbars to the face.
He gets a wrench to the face, and it literally does nothing.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I get it. But it's fucking... I was about to say it's Resident Evil. But it's Fast and Furious. You have to expect that. And even some of the points were, like, there's some fucking... I don't want to give anything away, but there's some... tool that they use to do something, and then they're like, yeah, let's just fucking hack into it. Yeah, because that just happens. You just press something in the thumb drive and you press two buttons and you hack into it. And I even was like, come on. But I was saying that knowing the fact that it's Fast and Furious, and just got into it and enjoyed it regardless. Anybody who enjoys these types of movies, there's nothing new except for Jason Statham, and his fight scenes were fun. Yes, there was shaky cam. It was still fun. I mean, I went in there expecting that, and I got that. So for that reason, Kev, I give it a 7 out of 10. Carp, let's get your review.
I haven't seen Furious 7, actually. I went to see It Follows.
Heavy set, let's get your review.
Yeah, I have never seen any of them, so I definitely didn't go see it.
All good. Check it out. All right. Heavy set. You're not Carp. Carp.
Really?
What follows?
Sure?
Carp,
just went on such an angry tirade. You're confusing the large.
I'm getting all American over the place now.
Kevbo,
I just pumped the gasket.
Kevbo, you're not Devil Vamp.
I just literally had an aneurysm. Carp.
Yes.
It follows the previous review.
It does follow.
Let's get your rating.
I was expecting more with what Rotten Tomatoes and Metacritic has it as, because Rotten Tomatoes right now has this movie rated as a 95%, which is really good. It is a definite change in the horror genre. It's something new, which I enjoyed. The lead actress was very well done. The concept for the antagonist, or can't say anything without spoiling it, so the concept for the antagonist was new and interesting, which I liked as well. Not as much death on screen as I was hoping for. All in all, like, it was really enjoyable, a little slow at points, and I guess since I was one of four people in the cinema this afternoon to see it, it's very quiet in there. The sound was really, really helped add to it, though. All in all, it's a 7.5. I can't say anything.
7.5, fuck! I'm Carp! I'm furious! Ah!
I can't say anything without spoiling it, so I'll just say 7.5 out of 10.
Ah, furious! Ah, Carp! All right, is it opening day, Cheapy Tuesday, VOD, or Netflix?
Definitely Cheapy Tuesday, but you can honestly wait till Netflix. With the what they're saying about it on Rotten Tomatoes.
You said definitely Cheapy Tuesday, but you can wait until Netflix. So is it Cheapy Tuesday or Netflix?
Cheapy Tuesday.
Thank you.
What about Fury 7? Is it Cheapy Tuesday?
For me, opening day. Go right away.
Rental at best.
What was that, fuckface?
Rental at best.
Yeah, but
we don't rent movies anymore. It's 2015. Fucking Blockbuster. You should probably still have your Blockbuster membership. Fucking VOD. It's VOD, Kebbo. Get it right, man. Yeah. All right.
His silence says it all.
I'm still frustrated. Have we seen any of the English? Have we seen anything else? All right. Let's move on to the weekend box office. Kev, you want to break down the numbers or we throw it to Carp?
Let's throw it to Carp.
Carpo Trek, go ahead.
Don't you ever dare fucking say that again.
he's furious.
You're making me furious. 7 and probably 8 and then Fast 9, but then Furious 10. To nobody's surprise, Furious 7 retained number one in the box office. It actually increased in theater count and it brought in an additional $59.5 million for a total domestic of $255 with a foreign of $548 for a worldwide number of $800 million.
That is stupid.
You are stupid.
Enough with the Kebbo bashing. Be nice. We've ripped into him.
You ripped into him.
We're trying to be nice. I'm trying to get past this. Imagine a 60% drop and you're still making $60 million domestic.
Yep.
What the fuck?
Yep. It's The Rock and it's the cast. It's everybody, pretty much. This is ridiculous. I know. Ever since Tokyo Drift, they've steadily increased their numbers. So this is probably going to be like $1 billion.
But the thing, it's going to be well over $1 billion. But the thing is, I think it's going to be like I was saying to Old School. It's going to be like The Dark Knight, where I think the Paul Walker effect, we won't see any of the movies making more than this one.
I guess we'll just have to see.
I don't know if he was that much of a draw.
But was Ledger in The Dark Knight before?
Yes, he was.
But I
say 100%.
But I think this is the same kind of thing.
I don't think so, because if you look like...
I think they're similar. I was obviously more of a Batman fan, and you know, when I seen the end of Batman Begins, I was already sold on Dark Knight. I didn't care who you threw in it. I wanted to see where they were going with everything. And I still think that there were some people that wanted to see how the movie was going to do without it. Like, I don't think they're, it's like identical money, like how much money that they both drew in, but I still think it's the same thing.
Here's the thing, Kev. Paul Walker in the second one with Tyrese there, how well did he do there? I mean, the only time the franchise got a resurgence was when Vin Diesel came back. He's the franchise, in my opinion. I think Paul Walker is more of a sidekick role, and I don't think him not being in the next one, I don't think it'll affect it at all. He's been replaced by The Rock, Jason Statham, and a bunch of other characters. So I'll throw it in the red book right now, Kebbo. Prediction number two of the day. The next sequel makes just as much as this one. And I'll put money on that.
I will take that bet because I think Paul Walker, it is a big effect, and we won't see any of the other ones.
$10?
Yeah, $10. Let's do it.
Done. Red book. Do it.
Well, I got to do
it. Yeah, you're the one who has to do it. So to continue the box office numbers, Home retains second place for another week, pulling an additional $18.5 million for a total domestic of $129 million on a $135 million budget for a number of $112. So pretty sure Fox is pretty happy with this number. Third place, we have The 8 Seconds of Grey, or The Longest Ride, opening at $13 million with a world of a foreign number of 3. No surprise to me that it did this number. I mean, I'm surprised. Actually, I'm surprised it made over 10. So, anybody else want to comment on The Longest Ride?
All I can say is I think this will be a movie that makes nothing on the foreign market. Well,
it's made something on the foreign market, as proven with the $3 million I just mentioned.
Yeah, but I mean, $3 million. Yeah, I mean, not nothing, but like nothing, basically. Okay.
Fourth place, we have Get Hard, pulling in an additional 8.2 for a total of $70.7 million in 3 weeks. Fifth place, we have Cinderella Live Action Edition, $7.1 million for a total of $180 million on a $95 million budget, with a foreign number of $256 million. Sixth place, we have the Divergent series Insurgent, $6.7 million for $114. We'll definitely be seeing the last movie probably in two parts, just like the Harry Potter and Pirates and all the other crap that movie trilogies decide to make four parts of now. Seventh place, we have a Woman in Gold. It pulled in an additional 5.4 for a total of 8.9. It went up in theater count 162%. So it'll probably pull in some more next week. Eighth place for its fifth week is It Follows for $1.9 million for a total of $11.7 million. No foreign number at this time. Budget couldn't have been over $3 million, so I'm sure the company's very happy about this. Ninth place, we have Danny Collins, some movie about music artists. Pulls in $1.4 million for a total of $2.3 million. And in 10th place, we have Well, We're Young, $1.3 million for a total of $2.3 million. And just to mention, 11th place, Kingman Secret Service, $1.3 million additional, $124 million domestic, and a foreign number of $267 million.
I'm so happy we're going to be seeing a sequel for Kingsman.
It's not even written yet, and they have to go back to Mark Miller. They have to.
But with this kind of money on the budget, I think we're definitely seeing a sequel.
I hope so. The Eggsy character is very easily marketable, so what the hell?
Yeah, dude, why are you moaning? Kev, why are you moaning? Sorry. Somebody punch you in the balls or something?
Yes, someone did, actually.
Hey, Ellen, how's it going? Good job punching him in the balls.
Hit harder next time.
She grabbed me in the balls.
Make him cry.
Yo, save it for after the show. You only get half an hour. You can do what you
That's
want.
That's what I say. Tell that to her.
She's crazy, man. She wants to jump your bones.
We love that about her.
I'm sure you do. All right, Heavy Set, you back?
Yeah, I'm sorry. My Skype app keeps Paul Walkering.
you know... All right, upcoming movies for this week. We've got three. The first one is a horror. It's more of a social media horror movie. And I'm actually curious to check this one out. We're going to play the trailer and get our thoughts.
A little bi curious.
You want to take some pictures?
Post it.
I need another drink.
Dude, look, look.
Laura. Not a good audio trailer.
Did you guys buy your tickets 2 weeks ago like I asked you?
No.
Which seats are better, balcony or orchestra?
Hey, Mitch, who's your buddy?
Who is that?
I just tried to hang up on him.
Can we get rid of this person?
I don't know.
Is this here the whole time?
It's just probably a glitch.
Well, the glitch just typed.
Who is doing this? This is Laura's account.
Who would hack into a dead girl's account?
Maybe it's Laura.
All right, everyone, hands up right now. Who's doing this?
Oh, my God. Guys, seriously, who posted the video?
It wasn't me.
Well, one of us did.
Who's here?
Close the door.
Lock your door.
Just hide! Why are you showing this? I didn't mean it.
You swear it.
Oh, you swear?
Man, what's going on?
What is that?
Hey, talk to us!
What happened?
This seems interesting. It's Carp, you're the horror guy. So has anything like this happened before? I know the what was the more the handicam movies there. Fuck, we went to go we're see one. Paranormal Activity,
paranormal
right?
Paranormal Skyptivity.
Well, that was a great movie.
Well, this seems more like just focused entirely on Skype. I just like the concept. What do you think about this?
There was kind of a film that I saw on Netflix called The Den, which basically uses like social media, kind of a Facebook style place, as basically murder people. It wasn't paranormal like this seems to be. The other one was Antisocial, which was it focused on Facebook, but there was some sort of like virus in Facebook which made people into zombies, which was pretty cool. So I'm going to go check this out. I mean, I like to give most things a shot except for Paranormal Activity because it never appealed to me. So, I mean, if you're free Friday or whatever night.
I'm more of a cheapy Tuesday, but I'll check this out on a Tuesday.
Yeah, recording Tuesday.
We'll figure that out.
I'll probably go check it out at some point. Probably yeah, Cheapy Tuesday.
Yeah, I'm game for a Cheapy Tuesday. We're going to ignore Kev. He usually doesn't like these movies.
Whoa.
Okay. Kev Boutrep, let's get your thoughts.
Yeah, this is definitely a first night movie for me.
With your girlfriend so she can hide in her bosom when you get scared because you're a little girl.
No, she could grab his balls when she's scared. It'd totally work out.
There we go.
Yeah.
She's laughing in the background. Is she into this? Would she go see this with us?
Would you go see this? What's it called again?
Unfriended.
Unfriended. The Skype movie. Dude.
Great salesman there.
Skype horror
movie? It's a movie about Skype.
It's called Unfriended. It's a Skype horror movie. Like, it's a horror movie based on, like, they're all on Skype and stuff starts happening.
Yeah, sure, why not? It's a horror movie.
Oh, yeah, so it looks like we're going to see it.
I love it. Make Kev go see every horror movie. He fucking loves it.
She's laughing.
I'll even give you the money to do it. Have you set, yay or nay?
Yeah, I'm a nay on this one.
All right, our next one, the cinematic genius, Kevin, wasn't that Kevin Spacey? All right, Kevin James stars in Paul Blart, Mall Cop 2.
Las Vegas.
Take it in, Cupcake.
I'm finally working the big leagues.
I'm so proud of you.
I heard you're pretty good on one of those things.
Been known to dabble.
Oh! Monkey hopping it.
Oh! I missed it!
Still got it.
400,000 square feet protected by the finest security this side of the Mississippi.
Move along. Get out of here.
Is there someone you can call? Oh, sweet Mercy.
Hey, thanks for all your help.
Yeah.
They say Las Vegas has the best security in the world, but we're about to find out.
Let's go!
Someone's taking down the hotel!
Let the games begin.
Every casino in Vegas is being hit.
We need a leader right now that can step up and inspire us.
I understand.
Oh! MCN! MCN! That's clean glass!
I need you to establish a perimeter and lock down the premises.
I'm all home court advantage.
Please tell me Blart is taken care of.
Yeah, you mean taking out your crew one by one.
Ooh, that got real.
Must be getting pretty lonely. Scared?
Allow me to introduce you to a few of my associates.
Oh, wow. You've got your own superhero.
What's with the cape?
Why are you wearing a cape, Con?
I came straight from a haircut.
When people ask me, why do you do it?
I, like you, didn't choose security. Security chose me.
Oh, sweet mercy.
I am so sorry,
well,
ma'am.
It's my fault. Are you going to want turn down service?
Security is a mission. Not an intermission.
Okay, let's do a quick nay.
Babe, are we seeing this? Yep, we're seeing this.
What? Yeah. Really?
I mean, you got to watch
Paul Blart. She wants to go see Paul Blart.
Yeah, we're seeing Paul Blart, baby.
Really?
Yeah. Opening day. Like, really? She asked, what's wrong with Paul Blart? Yeah, what's wrong with Paul Blart?
Nothing.
Hey, old school, sorry. There,
what's wrong with Paul Blart, old school?
Carp.
I haven't seen
first. Nothing's wrong with Palmer.
Last Kevin James.
Carp, go ahead.
Last Kevin James
Carp.
Movie I saw was Here Comes.
Carp, stop talking. Let me say to you, and then so I can cut. Because you keep, as I'm talking. Carp, let's get your thoughts.
I haven't seen a Kevin James movie since Here Comes the Boom. I haven't seen the first, and I'm highly doubtful about going to see the second.
How did you not see Grown Ups 2? Heavy nope. Set, let's get your thoughts.
I think this is going to be a movie of the year candidate. I am really excited for it, and I'm kidding. I'd seen the first one. I liked it, but that was one of those movies that's like, yeah, let's be one and done on this one. And then that
Joe Dirt.
No, I'm curious to see a sequel on Joe Dirt. So fuck you. But this, I've seen this that one weekend. I went and seen like a bunch of movies. I seen this in over half of the trailer for on half of the movies I seen those that weekend, and I was like, all right, I'm getting tired of this thing already.
Yeah, I mean, you've pretty much seen the movie in the trailers. I'm pretty sure. Okay, one last movie. Now, normally I would skip this, but last time I skipped Cinderella, I got a lot of shit for it. So apparently everybody wanted to hear the Cinderella trailer. So I was going to avoid Disney Nature's Monkey Kingdom documentary, but Carp sided on the side of caution and said I should play the trailer just in case we have big monkey fans in the audience. So we will play the trailer and get our thoughts.
And then we're going to play a clip from Clerks 2.
All right, Carp, something I probably didn't consider is there's obviously going to be no dialogue in a monkey documentary, so playing an audio trailer would be kind of stupid. So instead, let's listen to the latest song from Lords. See on screen, not very
pretty, but we sure know how to run things. In 2015... Disney Nature invites you on an unforgettable adventure never before captured on film. So there. Disney Nature's Monkey Kingdom. Dropping into theaters Earth Day 2015.
So listening to that incredible dialogue, Carp, let's get your thoughts.
I think I'm going to be a nay on this one. Although, oh, yeah. Earth Day, Monkey Kingdom. Come on, Disney. Come on.
Hey, man, they're like jumping on the bandwagon of fucking clean energy.
For all you know, they're going to be throwing their feces at each other.
Yeah, it's going to be a shitstorm. Heavy set, your thoughts?
Yeah, I've never been a fan of any of these movies. Like, I like documentaries and stuff, but these nature series, I've never been one I want to see.
Not in the theater. Kebbo.
I'm a nay, but it's kind of cool that a documentary like this is going to be in 2,000 theaters.
Yeah, it's cool. It's something you'd probably... I'd check out on Netflix. I was bored or something, but I couldn't see myself running to the theater to check it out. All right, let's get into hashtag OSATM feedback.
You never go ass to mouth.
You've never gone ass to mouth.
You never go ass to mouth.
I've never gone ass to mouth.
Carp, let's get the tweets for this one.
We start with the Mop Jockey. First cast photo revealed for Suicide Squad. And there's a big picture of David Ayer, Will Smith, Margot Robbie, Viola Davis, Joel Kinnaman, everybody but the Joker.
I was going to mention that, yeah. Jared Leto's not in there.
Because Jared Leto is currently touring with 30 Seconds to Mars because that's his other job where he's in a pretty awesome rock band. So.
Is he a singer?
Yeah, he's lead singer.
Oh, fuck.
It was on a hell of a show. Me and Watsuki went to go see them 2 years ago, and it was one of the better rock concerts I've been to in a hall. So.
One thing about Suicide Squad that kind of annoys me is the movie is having an effect on Arrow. Like, I don't want to give any spoilers away, but it's annoying me that because of the movie, they have to change stuff on Arrow. And I know Arrow's, you know, small beans compared to a Hollywood movie. But, dude, there's a bit of resentment there from me.
Oh, if you don't like it, go fuck yourself.
Well,
it
has Robbie, so I'm there.
And Cara Delevingne.
And Will Smith.
Yeah, sure, Will Smith, too.
Will Smith is the Arrow, correct?
No, he's Deadshot.
Will Smith is Batman.
But, they should get ML somehow for... I don't know if you're...
That makes no sense. They won't put him in the movies. That's
it would have been great to see.
Oh, so dumb.
We have a article from the Mob Jockey. 7 sequels you never expect but are definitely happening. Okay, let's find out. Space Jam 2.
Why?
Completely
since the last one.
Completely unneeded.
You put Michael Jordan back in it? Can he still go?
Warner Brothers is supposedly developing a script with LeBron James to potentially star.
Nah, fuck off.
Yeah, we've talked about that.
What about Vince Carter?
Maybe 15 years ago.
Yeah. Or who is the Mighty Mouse guy for Toronto? I like him.
Like 20 years ago, Damon Stoudemire.
Ah, man, that shows my basketball knowledge.
Top Gun 2.
Yes, hell yeah. Fuck you. You anti-Tom Cruise fucking hater. Fucking Scientology's cool. I don't give a shit.
If this is as good as the first one, definitely yeah for me.
The plot.
Stop shitting on him, Matt. I know you don't like short people.
The music alone is enough. Like if they
that's
can get the
that's
music-
untrue. FTW is on my show.
I didn't mean short in that way.
The plot will supposedly focus on the relevance of pilots in the modern age of drone warfare.
Done. Sold. Take my money.
Bad sense.
He's going to shoot drone Russians. Done.
I was still surprised how well the first one held up, so I'm definitely interested in seeing a second.
You got to get Putin in there, fucking Rusev. He's controlling the drones or something. I don't care. Anything with Tom Cruise and Top Gun, fucking take my money right fucking now. Go. I know it's people are probably going to shit on it saying it's unnecessary. I don't care. I want to see Beverly Hills Cop 4. I want to see Top Gun 2. I want to see Ghostbusters 3 with the original cast, even though they're dead. Fuck it. I want to make it happen.
Well, Ghostbusters 3 is actually already on this list.
Not with the original cast.
I'm kind of okay with this being made in a second movie. Like, it doesn't feel like it's overdone or... Like, I don't know, I'm okay with another Top Gun movie where it's not like, oh, they're going to that. So I definitely hope they make it and they do a good job with it.
Because Cruise can still go.
Honestly, I could care less if Cruise is in it or not. I just want to see another Top
Gun. He's got to be a trainer. Yeah, he's got to be a trainer.
He's too old to be a pilot, I guess, at this point.
Bum, 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 bum.
Kevbo just wants to see shirtless dudes in jeans playing volleyball.
Yeah,
that's all he wants to see.
Kilmer dropped a weight for the role? I think he will.
Wait a minute.
Well, apparently,
he's
lost a shit ton of weight. I mean,
that might have been the most homoerotic scene I've ever seen in a movie.
Cock.
And you watch gay porn. So.
And I watch gay porn.
Next sequel probably coming out: Bad Santa 2.
Cock talk.
I'm sorry, I'm late on it.
The cock.
See, this is a movie where I'm like, are they really making another one? And I like the first one.
Yeah, unnecessary.
It's going to be the same thing. No. It's going to be an exact same movie.
It's Rush Hour Syndrome.
Yeah. I'm curious. It's another off the wall Christmas movie. As long as they don't make it like they did a really good Christmas movie and they took the sequel and it was a piece of shit. Granted, there's a couple of them: Christmas Story and Jingle All the Way.
You're a huge Christmas Story. You're the only person I've ever heard mention that movie. You're like, you love that movie.
Do you know where it was shot?
I know, but you still love it.
Because of where it was shot. I've been to the Christmas Story house. It's a big thing.
Listen, bunch of movies have been filmed here and they sucked.
We have the Christmas Story house here. I've been to it.
I understand. The guy sold you the DVD and he autographed it. He was in it for 3 minutes and he fucking saw. I understand.
Actually, there was a guy there when I went through there.
I remember you mentioning that.
No, I didn't get a fucking autograph. I'm like, oh, great. You were in a 2 second part of the movie. Great.
Hey, that's his claim to fame. Why are you shitting on him?
Because he's Tom Cruise.
Oh, man. I don't get the hate for Tom Cruise. Everybody hates the guy now. It makes no sense.
It's Scientology for the majority.
But who cares what he fucking believes? I don't give a shit.
I've never really liked him. There's not a movie. I've never been a Tom Cruise.
You're a bandwagon jumper. You just don't like him because everybody else doesn't like him.
No.
You're a follower.
I hated Tom Cruise when the Mountie was the Intercontinental Champion.
Oh,
fuck, that was way back, man.
For those 2 days.
All right,
continue.
Movie.
There's Beetlejuice 2 on this list as well.
I'd be okay with that. I'm okay with that.
Same here.
Follow-up, they're saying Keaton and Ryder are supposed to set and reprise their roles.
Batman?
Beetlejuice.
Oh, Batman. I want to see him back as Batman.
Runner 2.
Well, not with Schwarzenegger, though.
I said Blade Runner 2.
You mean Harrison Ford?
Oh, sorry.
The hell are you talking about?
I was thinking Running Man.
No, Blade Runner 2 from 1982, the sci-fi masterpiece by Ridley Scott.
I think it'll be interesting to see what they do with today's technology.
Because you never find out what Harrison Ford is in the end of the last one. So what are they going to do with this?
He's the president, you idiot.
All I know is there better not be a golf course and he better not be in a plane.
Get off my damn plane,
Goonies 2.
Way too late.
No, I'm a nail.
Even though I just said Top Gun's fine, it's way... No, Goonies needs to stay in the 80s.
It's an 80s movie. I'm with you. Like, Top Gun can be relevant today.
Just like the pumps, you know, the shoes, the pumping the air in the shoes. That needs to stay in the 80s along with cassettes.
Exactly. Like, Top Gun, easily adaptable. Or like, Goonies, I think it's just going to be cheesy.
Are all these kids even still alive? I mean...
It's like that gem in the holograms fucking... Like, nobody cares anymore. I don't get that.
Independence Day 2.
Kev hates that fucking movie.
I enjoyed it when I was 14.
Kev hates it.
That's all I can say is I enjoyed it when I was 14. Now I think it's a horrible movie.
They should have went with the original ending where apparently the aliens won. So.
Exactly.
But then I would have been fine with that.
And then the other ones, well, okay, we know that Jurassic Park's coming out with Jurassic World. National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, we know there's going to be a new National Lampoon's Vacation movie with D'Angelo and Chevy Chase. So.
How about National Lampoon's Rosh Hashanah?
Last time I checked, Chase wasn't a Jew.
What if they all convert to Judaism?
And it's like super serious for no reason.
And it probably wouldn't sell.
Oy vey!
Worst movie ever.
And then apparently there's going to be a sequel to The Fighter.
The what?
The Fighter 2?
Fighter 2.
What's The Fighter?
It's the one with Mark Wahlberg where he's a boxer.
Oh, okay.
Because we've never seen that before.
Not necessary.
But seeing Christian Bale as like a meth head, that was great.
Again? Isn't he dead though or something? Who? In the movie? Like his character?
Mickey Ward? No. The Mob Jockey continues with another news article. Harry Potter star in talks for GTA movie lead. This is actually going to be a movie about Grand Theft Auto's production and not the game itself. And how they've constantly had to go against this lawyer named Jack Thompson, who is like anti-video game. Video games cause violence in retarded children or stupid children, that type of stuff. So,
you can't say retard anymore, even though I've said it 400 times this episode.
Yeah. I mean, Radcliffe's a pretty good actor, so.
I think the concept's interesting. I do think the GTA franchise, although there would be a lot of backlash, I'm guessing, if you made it properly, I think it would do well as a film franchise, although I don't think they need to do it.
A lot of the movies are like derivative. I mean, a lot of the games are derivative from movies, so it's
and they're almost like little movies in themselves. They, you know what I mean? So yeah, you don't really need to do a film for that. Yeah. But it's I like the concept.
I guess it would be like we kind of already have the GTA movies with Fast and Furious.
So it'd be the same concept.
But there's not enough prostitute murder.
Or just like grandmother punching, or you know what I mean? Yeah. Like it's randomly the movie would be like you carjack it and crash into a fucking like a stop sign, and then you get shot by the cops, and you start back in the hospital again. You do that for 40
guns
minutes.
Guns are randomly appearing in your hands every time.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. Flying a helicopter into a fucking building.
Mop went article heavy this week. 10 actors who could replace Hugh Jackman as Wolverine.
A quick year and a go.
Tom Hardy.
No.
I say no. Kev, heavy. Okay, never mind. Shia LaBeouf.
Yes.
No.
No.
Yes, fuck yeah.
What was that? Bring Shia LaBeouf for what?
To replace Jackman.
God, no.
Yes, do it.
Penn Badgley. He was in.
I don't know who he is, so
from
no.
From Gossip Girl.
He's actually got the look. Jon Snow from Game of Thrones.
Jon Snow.
How about CM Punk?
There's Scott Eastwood. I have no idea what this guy's in, but he's already in the Suicide Squad movie. So Scott Conn, James Conn's son.
So he's playing Conn.
Ugh, shut up. Would he replace Jackman? Yes or no?
No.
I don't know. Jake Gyllenhaal.
No.
Yeah, it. Yeah, he can do it. He can do it. Cool. He can play action. Yes.
Number 8, Kevin Hart.
Yes, no. Definitely. This needs to happen.
Here's what it says. Calm down already. Kevin Hart proved in the recent film Get Hard that he has solid acting chops that extend beyond comedy, and his pretend toughness was pretty convincing. He's got talent, charisma, and a huge fan base like Scott Conn. His height and build are well-suited for the comic book character's physical reputation. Yes, Kevin's skin is darker than Hugh Jackman's, and the percent that it matters is actually zero. The world isn't full of white guys only, and the more we expand our perception and tolerance for changes to decades-old material in which the color of ink used on a character wasn't important to their actual personality and characterization, the more these films will start to reflect the real world. Kevin would be a great option for Wolverine based on his acting, his charm, and all the other things he brings to the table. I say no.
I say no, just I'm not based on the color of his skin. But based on his previous work, yeah, I don't see him.
He's more of a comedic guy. Taylor Kitsch, since we mentioned John Carter before.
I don't know who that is.
John Carter. He also played Gambit in the first Wolverine movie, like the Wolverine solo flick, Wolverine Origins.
No.
And then finally, Garrett Hedlund. He regularly plays a bad guy, actually.
And I regularly have no idea what you're talking about.
I'd say probably Penn Badgley is the most, from the picture they show, he has the most look for it.
I say Shia LaBeouf, do it.
Mob Junkie again. New Deadpool image kicks back at Marvel Comics. It's basically a picture of Deadpool sitting on the throne reading a comic. Like, the throne, the crapper. I don't know. Well, they've constantly been showing images of Deadpool online. I'm looking forward to the movie, finally. Double A Andy Anderson. Daredevil Season 1 released on Netflix. I know what Marvel fanboys will be doing all weekend.
Fucking love it. I've seen 3 episodes. Love the guy plays Murdoch. It almost seems like a bit of Franklin and Bash and a bit of Arrow. I love the graphicness of the fight scenes. A lot of blood. A lot of, like, you see them actually physically stitching people. It's extremely graphic. The acting's good. Even his sidekick. It almost seems like 2 different shows, where the lawyer stuff is completely separate from the physicality. But I enjoy it. I think it's really good.
I enjoyed the first episode. I'm a fan of Deborah Ann Woll, the secretary chick who almost gets murdered. And as well, it's
I can't get by the... I know this is superficial. I got a problem with that mole on her face. I can't get past it.
And seeing the kid again from Mighty Ducks 1, 2, and 3, his buddy.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. It took me a while, too. I'm like, I know that kid from somewhere. I know that kid. And then I finally... I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to check IMDb, and bam, there it was.
Yeah, I'm
the enforcer.
I'm torn with the chick, the secretary, because she is cute, but the mole's pissing me off. I don't know.
She looks great in most of True Blood.
She looks good. She looks good.
Devil Vamp. I was a huge fan of The Crow as a kid. Must have watched it 50 to 80 times. I always thought they showed his death. Hashtag OSATM. The more you know. Oh, now we need like the NBC logo.
While we're on that note, I got to jump off.
Oh. Okay. Heavy set, before you take off, plugs, final thoughts.
You can catch Anything Goes on the brand new kayfabesportsradio.com, or for those who actually caught the episode, you know, that's a joke.
Trending Topics Network.
Yeah, on Trending Topics Network, we've got 2 episodes. One's like, what, like an hour and a half, but the second episode that we put out really quick is like 3 hours long. And I think, like, I know I go on a bunch of diatribes, and like we go on like some stories. So, I mean, I think it's a fun episode.
All right, thank you very much. Heavy set. All right, keep going.
Devil Vamp again. Everywhere You Look had me rolling on the floor. Hashtag OSATM.
Everywhere you look. Nobody else caught that.
The more you know.
Devil Vamp, I agree with Heavy Set and Katie, the First Lady. It's not just Vin, it's the whole cast and the family storyline. People like these care. Char, actually, he rates Char. I guess he ran out of the 140 characters. Devil Vamp, the first Fast and the Furious movie was a heist movie. Congrats, Kev, you were an idiot.
I don't know about that, though. Hold on.
It opened with a heist.
It had heist parts of it, but it was more about the back and forth with the two characters. It was more of an undercover drug operation. It wasn't a heist movie.
It was an undercover operation to arrest the
yeah, heist. So hold on. Devil Vamp, you
should... Street racing.
You know, I know, Kev, you haven't even seen the first movie, but still, I don't know if I can agree with him 100% on the Kebbo bashing on this particular
case. There is only 2, like, major race scenes, though, in the opening, the race between Walker, Vin, and the other 2 people, and then the closing race where Walker has to save the big dude, and, like, Vin Diesel finds out he's a cop, so.
Well, I'm reading the description here, and it says Los Angeles police officer Brian O'Connor must decide where his loyalties really lie when he becomes enamored with the street racing world he has been sent undercover to destroy.
Yeah, see, but he's not there to destroy the street racing world, so the description's wrong. He's there to catch criminals stealing from trucks.
Okay.
I mean, there is heist aspects, but it isn't primarily a heist movie.
I think we saw it.
5 and 6, and from what I understand, 7 are really like heist-heavy movies.
No other tweets or emails?
Oh, no, there's still more. From the ladies at All Wine Aside, or more specifically, Charlie. Hashtag OSATM. Hey, Daiquiri, learn how to contain your booze.
Okay, listen. I haven't been called Daiquiri in 15 years. Do not... I haven't drink...
Every time C-Money comes around and calls you Daiquiri.
Well, fuck him. No, he hasn't even started a Daiquiri chant in a while, so... Daiquiri is dead. You cannot refer to me as Daiquiri. That's in a past life. I haven't drank daiquiris in like 15 years.
Didn't we order you one for your birthday last year?
I don't remember that. Like, that never happened. Listen. You can't call me that. It's just, it's not relevant currently.
Well, you know what? If everyone can tweet at Daiquiri instead of...
You don't even have a Twitter account. Shut up.
For the people who do, hashtag Daiquiri.
Daiquiri old school.
Okay.
Daiquiri old school.
Okay. Don't listen to him. He's an idiot. What happened back in the day...
I love how your cover-up story.
No, back in the day, he started a Daiquiri chant. And because I got drunk off of daiquiris. Here's the story. Okay. And C Money might say this a little bit different, but he over embellishes all the time. So this is what happened. So we in our late teens or something, 18, 19, him, myself, and a mutual friend are hanging out, just drinking whatever. And one of the things we're drinking is a bottle of the daiquiri.
Pre-made
daiquiris. And I'm absolutely fine after the bottle. I am not inebriated whatsoever. I swear to God. C-Money is completely full of shit. Never listen to him. Like, he's obviously over-embellished. I'm absolutely fine after. And I'm a little bit tired. I'm like, let's end this something. I want to pass out. I'm tired. I'm not drunk at all.
Sorry.
He's like, yeah, and then he starts spreading this rumor, this... completely false rumor. Oh, he was fucking trashed off a bottle of daiquiri. He's like, oh, I gotta stop. I'm so drunk. I never said anything about being drunk. I wasn't drunk at all. So if C-Money tells you the story, tell him he's full of shit because he's full of shit. And this has been following me for like 18 years where they start this daiquiri chant because of this bullshit story about how I got drunk off a bottle of daiquiri. So that's where it starts from. Do not believe it. Don't listen to kids. There's no reason. Daiquiri is dead. Charlie, why are you bringing up shit that doesn't need to be brought up?
Have to drink a daiquiri at Charlie's birthday now.
I'm not drinking a daiquiri. I'm past daiquiris. I don't drink that anymore.
And one of our final two ones, I assume from Charlie at All Wine and Sign again. I think it's time for another chick flick episode for At Old School
Movies. Oh, please no.
Listen, we have to serve the fans. If the fans want it, okay, I'll say this. If we can get this 10 retweets, I think that's the torch number.
30 retweets.
We don't have 30 fans.
No, okay? That's exactly why.
If we can get 10 retweets saying the hashtag OSATM chick flick 2, then we'll do the chick
flick. We're already going to be screwed because DSJMP has 3 guys. Double A is going to do it.
Double A has 15 Twitter accounts, so he's not allowed to fucking say it. He's full. No,
for sure, Mop.
It can't be a Double A account because he's got 40 accounts. But if we did get the 10 retweets, and then the audience will pick the chick flicks we have to watch.
Oh, great!
We should, for chick flicks, we should watch The Human Centipede, Centipede 2.
Yeah. So there you have it. If we get 10 retweets, Kebbo, myself, and Carp will have to watch the movie.
And finally...
Well, that's what you get for bringing up Daiquiri, you bastard.
Finally, Double A Andrew Anderson would like you to know, if you like movies, listen to Old School at the Movies and give feedback by using hashtag OSATM.
Keep shilling it up, Andy Anderson. All right, plugs, final thoughts, Kebbo, go.
I actually read something that made me not want to see the Ghostbusters movie even more on Reddit. So
focused on one character.
I just thought I'd read it quickly. Paul Feige, or whatever you ever say his name.
Feig.
Says Melissa McCartney will be the leader of the Ghostbusters team, and that's pretty much a wrap.
Yeah, I'm out.
Hopefully they do the Tatum version that they're talking about.
Yeah, I think they will. All right, Carp, plugs, final thoughts.
As always, StableWars.com. We are looking for new players of games. And the Stable Wars season, where you pick 7 performers on a $6 million budget. Your teams are due by just before Extreme Rules. You can win a DVD. You think you know wrestling. If you're on a wrestling podcast and you don't play Stable Wars, you're obviously full of shit and you don't know wrestling.
I'm calling everybody out right now. WIR listeners, Trending Topics Network, tweet me your team name. We're going to make it a competition. It's a fucking free DVD. It's a no-brainer. It costs you nothing to play. It's fucking free to play, you fucking jackass.
You can join the
forum. Get a free DVD. Why the fucking, and you get to trash talk me. Fucking team fucking, what are we calling it here?
I don't know. Something about a cock and will.
Don't stop till you get the cock.
There you go.
Team don't stop till you get the cock. Hashtag Liam Neeson. Try to beat me. Try to beat don't stop till you get the cock. Because it's important, people. Follow. You got to support Carp. Get your stable war stable. Win a free DVD. All right. So for Carp, Kevbo, Trek, Heavy Set, this is Old School. Thank you very much for listening.
The following trailer is rated S for spoilers. From the director, who apparently gets a lifetime pass because he made The Dark Knight, comes the movie everyone respected for being ambitious and original, but also made them say, what's he doing in a space bookshelf? Interstellar. The Earth is really dusty, and we've run out of okra.
I'm saying it's the last harvest for okra ever.
Matthew McConaughey stars as Matthew McConaughey, barely pretending to be a guy named Coop. He's a pilot-turned-corn farmer, struggling against the words trying to escape from his mouth.
We farmers, we sit here every year when the rains fail, and we say, next year.
But above all, he's a father to his beloved daughter, Murph.
Murph!
Come on, Murph.
Make him stay, Murph.
Don't let me leave, Murph!
And his son Tom, who by comparison he couldn't give two shits about.
Tom will be all right, but you gotta make things right with Murph.
Okay.
When Cooper is sent to five-dimensional space to write NASA's coordinates out of the dust particles in his daughter's bedroom, don't worry, we'll get back to that. He'll embark on a mission to save the world with the help of Christopher Nolan's trademarks. On-the-nose dialogue about character motivations.
You were good at something, and you never got a chance to do anything with it.
The tiniest possibility of seeing Wolf again excites me.
I can't watch you go through this, I'm sorry. I thought I could.
And dumbed down analogy so the audience can keep up.
If a black hole is an oyster, then the singularity is the pearl inside.
So a wormhole bends space like this, so you can take a shortcut through.
Hey, you stole that one from Event Horizon.
If a spacecraft passes through the gateway, space returns to normal.
But Coop won't have to make this journey alone. Along for the ride are these two red shirts, a shape-shifting ATM, this crying girl, and the world's best scientist.
Led by the remarkable Dr. Mann.
Dr. Mann? Well, he's remarkable. He's the best of us.
Who doesn't know how an airlock works?
If you open the hatch, the airlock will depressurize.
There is a moment.
Smooth. Witness a visual masterpiece that assaults your eyes with breathtaking effects and assaults your ears with emotional swells that sound like Hans Zimmer fell asleep on his organ.
Damn it, turn it down! I can't hear my own epic voice!
One, Easter edition.
So try to follow along with a film that was praised by no less than Neil deGrasse Tyson for its scientific accuracy, even though it goes full-blown Shyamalan at the end in a final act that consists of Cooper taking a black hole to a five-dimensional tesseract constructed by future humans.
We brought ourselves.
Finding his daughter through the power of love.
My connection with Murph, it is quantifiable.
Sending himself the coordinates to the secret NASA base that started this whole thing off from behind his daughter's bookcase, which is a paradox, by the way.
I brought myself here.
Tapping out complex scientific data from inside the black hole in Morse code on the second hand of a wristwatch, which Murph uses to solve gravity and save humanity. Then getting spit out into space, unscathed, in only a spacesuit, just in time to be picked up by space rangers.
The rangers found you with only minutes left in your oxygen supply.
Who unfreeze his elderly daughter so they can finally reunite, only for her to tell him to go back into space after, like, a minute, so he can go back through the wormhole he just escaped from to find Anne Hathaway. Go ahead, tell us that didn't happen. It's not that we don't understand it. It's just really stupid.
Yep.
Starring the astronaut farmer, Star Trek, The Math of Cain, and Go Away, Merv, Luigi Affleck, that 70s cameo, Third Dick from the Sun, Pal 9000, and a baked potato, Christopher Nolan's Contact.
That, you know, that
love is the one thing we're capable of perceiving that transcends dimensions of time and space.
All right, all right. Oh, what? Wait, what?